Tanya Heke, you may have seen her in the recent movies Cousins and in The Justice of the Bunny King. She was in, oh, too many to mention, Eagle vs. Shark, which Luke Buddha and I were talking about, Wellington Paranormal, and there is a link on our webpage to a very new short called Hey Takatap We Aho, part of the latest series of Outlook for Someday films. So, Tanya Heke is busy. She's also director of Toe Whakaare, New Zealand Drama School. She won Creative New Zealand's Making a Difference Award last year. And she's with us now. Kia ora.
Oh, kia ora, Kim. Thank you very much for inviting me to share some time with you.
It's an absolute pleasure. What does He Takatap We Aho mean?
It means I am, in different ways, I am gender diverse.
Takatapui.
Takatapui. Often just, you know, I'm queer. But in this particular instance, in this story, our character, our main character is gender diverse.
It's a great line, isn't it? Look at you and your non-binary finery.
Isn't that a beautiful face? And it's a whole celebration, I think, too. This young person is about to come to the marae and meet with her whānau, and some of those aunties can be quite cruel. And so they are preparing for what is quite a difficult battle, so they are dressed to impress.
Yes. Do you think that it's the conservatism of the marae, which is admirable in many ways, is also needing to be addressed?
Well, it's an interesting one, Kim, because you'll have so many. The character that I play is the main character's nanny. And as she points out, in all the photos in the whare, there are a number of whanganga relations who are also identify as being takatapui. So I think on the marae, and I think just generally in the Māori culture, there's a lot of understanding about takatapui. This is not anything new. However, there are still at the marae, amongst our aunties and uncles, those who are very conservative, but in general terms, in our culture, very accepting. So, but I think for this character, coming home is that real need to be accepted, and this was the final step really for them to be accepted by their own whānau, and so the character did find peace, I think, by coming home for this. It was a positive ending for the story.
Mm. I'm sure it's not only aunties and uncles on the marae that are conservative. You know, it's,
oh, crikey, no.
It's no more conservative than anybody else's aunties and uncles, I imagine. You
yes,
took out
right.
acting relatively late in life, Tanya. What took
I
you
did.
To it? What happened?
I did. I remember I was in my 30s before I came to drama school, and I had a baby, and I was working quite successfully. And in those days, I think it was for the Police Association. And then I had this great epiphany. My mum passed away, and I remember thinking this was the time, you know, it was time to make some changes. And I was always dreadful at school, so I thought perhaps it was time to go. And I sort of always said to mum that one of these days I'd go and get my degree, you know, that I'd go to university. And I thought it was time to fulfil that promise. So I did. And while I was at varsity, I was doing my Māori degree, BA, and I was also doing teacher training as well, because in those days they did actually have that beautiful campus up in Karori. And so I was teaching to be a primary, I was learning to be a primary teacher, learning, yes, that's interesting, but those were my studies. And then I was having another bubba, and as I was booking into the kōhanga, I noticed there was the drama department, and just thought, oh, well, I'll tell you what, I might just I might just start doing some studies in the tra how difficult would that be? And that would help with my degree. So that was how on the I stood on that sort of very slippery slope, Kim. And I've
Slippery
been
slope.
there ever since then.
A raked stage.
Indeed, indeed. So it started from there. And I have to say, I really enjoyed doing theatre and film, and that was back in the day when Philip Mann and David Carnegie were a part of the department. And they were incredibly encouraging. In fact, while I was at university, and I was much older than the other students, I was, as I say, in my 30s, and Taika and Jermaine were also part of that class. And I remember thinking even then, oh my goodness, those boys are smart, they sharp as. And so it was great to see them way back at the beginning. And they were already leaders and smart as whips. And so really, after I finished university and I got my qualifications and I promised my husband solemnly that I would go and find work, I then auditioned to go off to drama school. And I have to say that was a bone of contention for some time. He did point out to me that I did have a lot of qualifications, you know, that I'd been studying for enough time that I should have a doctorate, but I had lots of diplomas and, you know, and a BA. However, you
He was
know, it's
worried
all
that you were
kind of
going to be a
past.
perpetual student, was he?
Well, that's right, and we did have a mortgage and two children at that stage, but it was all good. It's all, you know, that's all water under the bridge now.
So how good. How old he's gone now? Long gone. No, you're still
Yes, I'm.
married to him, are you?
Yes.
Good.
Yes,
Phew,
indeed.
could
Yes.
have gone terribly wrong that
Oh.
one. Yeah, what how old were you when you went there?
Think I was 33 when I hit drama school. And when I
So
look
was
at
there
the students.
anybody, was there any, I mean, most people would have been about 10 years younger than that. Am I right?
Oh, indeed. Indeed. The one condition I think at drama school at that time, you were over 20. And the majority of them were just on 20. There was a couple that sort of snuck through, I think. So I'd already reached those lovely. I was already the aunt when I arrived.
And did you not feel self-conscious about that?
Well, you know, the thing was, when I went to drama school, there were a number of people that I sort of knew. And it's because a few of them had come from varsity straight in. And also, at that time, we were quite, here in Wellington, it was a very small community. And a number of people that got into the to my particular cohort, I knew them. And yes, I mean, there were lots of things that, I sort of sat on the edge of some of those Friday night shenanigans and what have you. I was no good to them. I was hopeless to them. But also, there was a lot of, I had done some of those things. So I was always a good ear to have a chat sometimes, you know, for the other students. And I was supposed to be seen, I think, really as being a helpful resource for staff, but I don't know necessarily that I was actually. From memory, Kim, our cohort, quite a dreadful year in terms of being quite, how would you say that? Opinionated. So perhaps, yeah, perhaps I wasn't a great resource for this, even though I was a bit older, and I know from time to time they'd come and ask if I could just talk to people, but I don't know that I actually was that helpful to them.
Did
And
somebody
that's why,
mention
of course, there's
did
why I
somebody
was there.
mention that you had the nude classes that year?
Oh my goodness, yes, the famous nude
I
classes.
didn't know they
What
were
did you
famous.
do?
I hadn't heard.
Well, the infamous is probably more to the point. And people lived in fear of these classes. Not surprisingly, I mean now especially, but in those days as well. And it was the whole
You what you
facade or sentiment
genuinely
behind it.
you had to take all your clothes off and
Oh, look, it was a thing. It was a beautiful thing,
oh.
apparently. The woman would go off with one of our tutors, and the men with another, and there'd be a picnic. You'd all wear lover lovers. There'd be lovely music. I'm not quite sure what the neighbors would think because we were in one of the studios. Oh, they must have closed the blinds. Anyway, the music would play, it'd be all lovely and warm in there. And then whenever you felt comfortable, just the lava would drop and off you go. You know, there you are in the mood. You play little games like tag and what have you. And then as a lovely reward, we'd all sit down and have a picnic. But I do have to say, if the class of 97 probably wasn't the class to sell the nude class, you know, we were not that cohort. And we just
It does sound a
yeah.
bit like an episode from Centrepoint, Tanya.
I,
Wouldn't you
yes, no, it's
say?
awful. And I think that Emily Perkins actually might have written it about some time at drama school, actually. She was a student at drama school as well. I'm not sure that she got on to the nude classes. But for anyone that is listening and thinking about coming to Te Whakaari, if I could just really now reassure you that nude classes are a thing of the past. And from about that class of 97, actually the popularity or from at least from the tutor side, that became the end of that, really.
I can
We
see the
don't do that.
point, though, that if you are going to be an actor, you have to be prepared to be naked and to lose self-consciousness.
Absolutely, but as with all things, we're able to approach this in a more professional manner these days, and we have these wonderful people called intimacy coordinators that work
Yes.
now with
Intimacy
actors.
coordinators. Every home should have one.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you, every nude production, actually,
Yeah.
and so they're able to work with actors. In fact, with the whole cast and everybody, I mean, all the crew as well. So, there are ways of doing this. We don't need all 50 people sitting there, for instance, with a camera while people are nude or doing intimate scenes. Actually, that can all be negotiated. And the way it's approached now, it's choreography. You know, there's an approval. My hand will go here, I will touch there. Are you good with that? So, it's quite different from, oh, here we go. We've got that particular scene. We'll just go for it. Nah, we don't do that anymore. Thank goodness. Things have changed.
Did you imagine that you were going to be so much in movies? Because I know theatre was an early interest, and in fact, you co-founded Heartbuy Productions with the late Nancy Brunning, which was an independent theatre company. Was it theatre that you were thinking first about?
Theatre's always been the love. There is, for me, nothing like a live performance. I was lucky enough, you know, even though we're here lucky enough, talking about lucky in level two, I was lucky enough to go to a performance last night at Te Whakaari. And as you can imagine, with COVID, just like everyone's been talking about, things have changed so much. So watching this live performance, we were all masked up, we had to stay 2 meters away from each other. And so it really changed everything. But the electricity that occurs in the space when the audience is able to collaborate really with actors or with the production that's happening in front of you, there is nothing quite like it. And I was reminded of that last night because we've missed it so much. We've been away from being able to be with each other, even though, for instance, Te Whakaari, back at level two, students have been coming in, that we miss so very much being in the space together because everyone's kept pretty much in their bubbles as much as we can. But there is something about a live performance that film just cannot, well, it can't capture that. So I was really encouraged again last night about we whakapapa really, the school whakapapas very strongly to a live performance, and I was reminded again why we do that. When I saw the reaction, they were just the other students, of course, we don't have any of the public in at the moment, it's all whānau in there. But when I saw the reaction of the others, when I could feel that in the room, it made such a difference to me, and I remember why we do Kim. It's really good
The
because
smell
it
of
gives you a
grease
bit of support.
paint, as they used to say. I don't suppose you can smell grease paint anymore these days, can you?
No, we don't be doing grease paint anymore.
Okay. You don't be doing
That's
grease paint.
not
The hell
cool.
to get off.
Terrible. And in fact, if you said that to our students, I don't think they'd even understand what we were talking about, to be honest.
No.
I know things have changed.
Do you now you won the Creative New Zealand Making a Difference Award.
Yes, I
What
did.
difference do you feel you have made?
Yes, I know.
I'm sorry to
I've
put you on the
always
spot,
like,
but I may as well ask
oh
you.
no, I just, I was very lucky because Nan, I think, had won it the year before,
She
and
had.
she had, and I've always been so incredibly proud to follow in her footsteps because she was such a mentor and such a fabulous friend for me. And the reason that we worked so closely together was to ensure that some of the barriers that we had experienced would, people would not experience following that. And the making the difference, I hope, is about removing some of those barriers. About, I've always, whakapapa is such a thing, isn't it? To stand on the shoulders of giants. And I'm always grateful to all the many people, starting with my parents and my whānau. The reason I'm standing here today, and further back, all my tūpuna, the reason I stand here today is because of so many others. And I just keep on thinking that for me, if in any small way I can do the same for others, then that has to be my purpose also.
Well,
And
something's
that's
been done because, according to the New Zealand Film Commission, 7 out of the top 10 New Zealand box office movies are Māori.
Isn't that amazing? And who would have thought that? Who would have thought that? 20 years ago, who would have thought that
I
ever?
know.
I mean, I just, I, and I'm so, it's been such a wonderful thing to be part of. Well, for instance, with Cousins, that was what a production, and so ambitious in the way that it was approached. To have so many people playing all of those characters through that huge, big story, that journey, and it's such an iconic story, with Fire Pack Grace. I mean, there's a huge responsibility on all of us to tell the story properly. But I just kept on thinking, oh, I'd often, and I love it too, because the little kids never had that sort of thing sitting on their shoulders. But I always remember thinking, oh gosh, I really can't back this one up. This is one of those ones that I really have to be completely in this character all of the time
Well,
to
that
be able
what
to
you've
tell.
done is not only lowered the barriers for Indigenous people, but you've also lowered the barriers for the more marginalised as well. Looking at your body of work, it suddenly struck me. Is that what you feel?
Well, I keep on thinking, my friend, we've experienced, we see it every day when someone has been excluded because there are a number of reasons, whether that's systematic, whether it's economic, whatever, and it's just not good enough. And if any of us can make that change, then that's what we have to do. And I hope so. I do get real passionate about it, but I also get a bit embarrassed because I look at all these amazing rangatira out there who actually are really putting themselves on the line. So I actually think my contribution really is relatively small, but I hope the impact for those that I have, or for those, for the changes that I have managed to make for others, that the impact is really positive for them, and they too will go on and do the same thing. That's a real thing for me too at school, that actually students see themselves as rangatira right from the start, because leadership means being able to take space and be able to change and make an impact. And that's what I'm hoping all these young ones, all these rangatahi who are at Toi Whakaari, take that responsibility quite seriously.
Excellent to talk to you. Tanya Heke.